look at this cool temple behind us.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
It's cool.
But look at all these people staring at us.
But, Steve, that's not really unusual. People stare at us all the time in India.
That is very true. Though, it's surprising to see so many people staring without actually taking pictures of us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now that it seems that we have everyone's attention, welcome to the India Cross Cultural Chapel. Namaste. My soul bows down to your soul. Today we will try to share with you our unique experiences of a trip that has changed all of our lives.
And we're going to demonstrate this in a top 10 countdown of unbelievable aspects of India.
So, without further ado, already dropping stuff. The number 10 unbelievable thing that we did in India is the variety of ways that we traveled. Now, we have traveled by every possible form of transportation. Boat, plane, train, tuk-tuks. Auto rickshaws, horse rickshaws, human rickshaws, bicycle rickshaws. Basically, just a bunch of rickshaws. And it also seemed that we traveled just about everywhere. All right, so here we are, starting off in the United States of America. I'm playing... Oh, there we go. Now we're in India. So now we're busing in Delhi, spent a few days there. Let's go to Agra, where we see the Taj Mahal. That's the outside of the Taj Mahal. And we just keep on moving on. Go to Varanasi, where we spend a lot of time at the river. Good stuff. Varanasi to Bodh Gaya, where we saw an 80-foot Buddha and a Mahabodhi temple. Moving on, we go to Calcutta, where we saw a big bridge. That's a human rickshaw right there. From Calcutta, we go back to Delhi. Let's switch over to plane. And there we go. Down south to Kerala, where we spent time with our host families. Worked in a rice paddy field, got burned. Spent 3 weeks there, back to Delhi. From Delhi, switch back to the bus. Bus down to Rajasthan, where we see facial hair. Spent time in a tent camp, saw the Blue City. From there, we go back to Delhi. That's kind of our home. Delhi to Dharamsala, mountains, beautiful Tibetan children. From there, we go to Amritsar, where we see the Golden Temple and the border ceremony with Pakistan. And now to Mysore, where cool farms, beautiful prayer flags. Back to Delhi, and let's switch back to the plane. And there we go, and we're back home.
And number 9 on our top 10 list is organizations. On our count, on our countdown. And we visited a lot of really neat places, and Vanessa is going to share about those.
So like they said, one of the amazing parts of our trip was visiting various charitable organizations that work to improve the lives of many of the Indian people. We visited MCC India, Mother Teresa's organization, Encore Kala, which is an organization to help women and they learn trades so they can earn a living and better their lives. We went to a polio hospital that provides free surgery and care for the many Indian people suffering from polio. And then another group we visited was called SID. SID works to improve the education in rural Himalayan villages. And through SID, we stayed overnight in one of these villages and learned about the difficulties of village life and education. And it was just a really awesome experience hearing about all the ways people of all different religions and economical backgrounds can help the less fortunate over in India.
All right, moving on. Number 8, unbelievable thing, sickness. And the remedies as to how to get over this sickness.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Maybe we should find Kim and let
If you have extreme diarrhea, in other words, if it's just water, straight water, okay? You need the yellow pills. You know, we are going to travel a little bit, so if you need to be plugged up, you need some other pills. And those are the purple ones.
You guys need to be plugged up.
And number 7 is our very exciting experiences with nature, which Rachel Cold is going to share about.
Throughout our time in India, we had many outdoor excursions. One of my favorites was definitely our first hike in the Himalayas, which we did while we were in Dharamsala. Even though it was a tough hike and the altitude was taking a toll on my lungs, the view was so worth it. Rounding our last corner to get to the top was breathtaking. Right next to us were snow-capped mountains that towered over the foothills that we had just trekked up. As we sat there for lunch and looked at these mountains, I felt so small. We live in such a big world, and I'm just such a tiny part of it. Conquering the foothills of the Himalayas was a memorable, humbling, and beautiful experience. Other adventures including rafting down the Yamuna River, which proved to be full of rapids, splashing, and falling out of the rafts. Another would be our elusive tiger safari. Sadly, we did not see any tigers. However, we did see lots of deer, a rare owl, and crocodiles. And yet another adventure was our time in the desert, which was spent jumping off of sand dunes and taking crazy jeep rides. Needless to say, we had a good amount of fun in the great outdoors. And now we have a crazy jeep ride. It was fun all around.
The number 6 thing on our countdown is food. The food we had was absolutely fantastic. Just northern Indian food, great. Southern Indian food, great. Everywhere. Tibetan food, great. However, it was sometimes sketchy, as demonstrated by our meal at the Golden Temple. Now, the unbelievable aspect of the food, sometimes we were forced to do our own thing, like catching a chicken.
Okay, John. Go for it.
A little bit of advice. Once you catch the chicken, do make sure to tie it firmly, or it's inevitable that you'll have to catch it again.
And number 5 is squat pots. I think you saw a picture of one. Yeah, there it is. So a very memorable and sometimes unpleasant part of our trip were our bathroom adventures. And you can see on your left, that's what we're used to, clean, regular Western toilet. And on the right is what we know is a squat pot, which we quickly figured out how to use. And sometimes there was no squat pots at all. So we're going to demonstrate that.
Guys, I think I really need to go to the bathroom before we get back on the bus.
Me too.
Is there a squat pot here at the restaurant, though?
Yeah, I just talked to Kim, and there's nothing here, but she did say, you know, that field out back of the restaurant would be perfect. So if we're desperate, let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
our number four most unbelievable aspect of India were all of the major sightings that we saw. For example, we saw India Gate.
And a temple.
And Humayun's tomb.
And a temple.
And the Qutub Minar.
And a temple.
And of course, the Taj Mahal.
And another temple.
And the Queen Victoria Memorial and a great observatory.
We also saw forts.
And another fort.
And another fort.
And a wall.
And another temple.
And another fort.
And another temple.
And another fort.
And another temple.
And a big rock.
And another temple.
And a big Buddha.
And another temple.
And another temple.
And last but not least, another temple. And number three on our top 10 countdown is our animal adventures shared by Sarah and Lara.
We had tons of crazy animal adventures that we definitely were not bargaining for.
We quickly learned in our trip that we needed to be prepared for anything. Could be anything from monkeys jumping on you when you're just relaxing out on your balcony in Varanasi, or to having angry cows trying to provoke fights with you when you're just walking down a crowded street.
One day in Jaipur was especially bad for cow attacks, as three members of our group had to dodge some very pointed horns.
India is all about expecting the unexpected, especially when it comes to wildlife.
And we took some interesting animal rides. So we have two videos, one of our elephant ride and one of our camel ride. And lots of children greeted us on these rides. And these are our camels. They're really hard to get up onto. Really hard. You almost fall off.
Oh, they tie the tails up.
Our number two experience was that of southern India, which is a land entirely unlike the north. We spent about a month here. Here we experienced great things like manual labor in a rice paddy field, where we were interviewed numerous times by CNN, India, and other newspapers. Eventually, we reached the Vijnana Kalaveti, which is a cultural center where we took our Hindi classes. Now, the first weekend, we took a houseboat ride, which was absolutely beautiful. This is Bryce's boat, as you can see. Now, this houseboat ride on this river is called one of 10 things to do before you die. So, check. And it was just really beautiful scenery the whole time. We spent 24 hours from noon to noon. It's a good time.
Okay, clap.
And after that, it was back to Hindi class.
Okay, class. Today we'll be talking about how to make the nasalized sound. Stay with me now. No. More like Okay, you work on it. Some other vowel and consonant sounds that we will be working on are the differences between the dental the and the retroflex the. Okay, so can you hear the difference? Okay, the dental the and the retroflex the. Can you hear the difference?
Yeah.
How about you, Steve?
The and the.
No. Duh and duh.
Okay. Duh and duh.
Okay. All right. You were funny. Now, class, the homework for tonight is if you take out your Hindi books, take them out now, and go to page 15 and write out all the 50 sentences on the page, and then go to page 16 and do the same. Also, look over all your Hindi verbs and words that we've learned and memorized. Then, I'll test your name tomorrow, okay? Lastly, memorize 10 more sentences from your list of Hindi sentences that I gave you. Then make 40 sentences that you have now memorized. I will also test you on those. This will be due tomorrow, okay? Yes, Laura.
My name's Will.
Oh, sorry, Bill.
We're going to the beach tomorrow.
What?
Did anyone tell you that we have 4 days of class this week and 3 days next week?
Only 3 days next week?
Yeah, beach this weekend, and then we leave next Thursday.
You're skipping Hindi class for the beach?
Well, we didn't make the schedule.
Okay, fine. Do your homework at the beach, bring it on Monday, and we'll pack more next week to make up for the lost days tomorrow.
Yeah. So, just so you know, no one is going to work at the beach.
Namaste, Pat.
And last but not least, our final number in our countdown of unbelievable Indian aspects is the diversity and amazing people we met and encountered along the way from all walks of life. And this is going to be shared through three monologues written by Dylan Zare, Michael Harnish, Braden Hoover, and Kelsey Landis. Michael, oh, do you want to say?
Sure.
Okay.
A little introduction. Michael is going to be an upper-class college student. Braden is a middle-class tuk-tuk driver. And Kelsey is a poor beggar.
Today was the first time that I ever seen beggars too malnourished to follow me. They sat in a row next to the temple wall, children in arms, staring. The only time I saw them move was when they tried to get the attention of a stupid tourist who walked too close. I've seen beggars before, but I've never seen them so helpless, only protected by shredded blankets. Oh well. Back in Delhi, though, sometimes I get bothered by poor people as I walk between my house and university. But it's easier to forget their faces when I'm window shopping at the Nike and Bose retail shops downtown. I do that a lot, you know. Go after class to the chain coffee shops to chat about recent Hollywood and Bollywood films with my friends. As a film major, I hope to bring the innovation of Western cinema into the Bollywood films that my country loves so much. My grandfather's not too thrilled about me leaving the traditions of our family as craft makers, but after witnessing those poor today, it seems just as important to portray the harsh realities of poverty rather than sugarcoat them like the films produced today. And my grandfather can always find another boy to take over the business.
Namaste. Mera Bhagwan. All of these Americans out here. Huh. Well, anyway. Every day for 21 years, I have parked my tuk-tuk, that's auto rickshaw for all of those unfamiliar to the term, and very small cramped green and yellow taxi for those of you who still don't understand. I park it outside the New Delhi YMCA waiting for the chance to ferry people around the capital. Of course, most of the time I'm flying by the seat of my trousers, taking a shot in the dark at the particular destination they want to go. But you know, business is still business, you know? And in those times, what with the economy like it is, sometimes you just gotta wing it. Worst comes to worst, ask for directions. Oh, excuse me. Bicep! KFC? Pizza Hut? Government Emporium? Very cheap stuff, huh? Quality? Shoot. Ah, well, there's plenty more Americans inside the Y anyway. Don't need to waste my time on them that wanna walk. You see, there's this large group of university students from America that come to Delhi every couple of weeks or so that are quite partial to the fast food restaurants. They're smart, too. Last time they were here, tried to make them pay 100 rupees for a trip to India Gate. 100 rupees apiece. Should have seen their faces. Been on the subcontinent too long, though. Can't fool them anymore. The group of guys just kept walking, asking for a better price. Gave in after a while. The economy, remember? I have to feed my family, train my sons to drive rickshaw, and make ends meet any way I can. Desperate times call for desperate measures, I suppose. Ha! This one in the sunglasses looks promising. Buy some! Subway? Pizza Hut? Metro? Palika? Hashish? Very quality stuff. Huh? Opium? Welcome to Hindustan. Expect the unexpected.
I am a crippled beggar. Each and every day I sit on the same street corner in New Delhi, with open hands waiting for someone to pass by, notice me, and if I'm lucky, feel moved by pity to drop a few rupees worth of coins into my outstretched begging hands. I lost both my legs to polio. It's already nearly impossible to find steady work in a country this overpopulated. But for me, as a cripple, the idea of securing a job is just hopeless. I have to drag myself from place to place using my hands and relying solely on my upper body strength. Sometimes as people pass me by, I drag myself toward them with one hand extended, hoping for charity. I see the fear and revulsion in the eyes of passersby as I approach them. I hate knowing that I disgust and horrify some people with my appearance, but if I don't draw attention to myself, I won't survive. There are times when I become so weak and exhausted from hunger that all I can do is curl up into fetal position, put my head on the ground, and keep one hand extended, open to the public, feebly hoping for compassion. Today, a white girl with brown hair put 25 rupees into my hand. I ask God to thank her for her kindness.
Now, if Kim and Bob could both come up to the stage, we have something for you. Kim and Bob were great leaders for us, and we just want to thank them for both their leadership and their guidance. You were there for us when we were sick, when we needed money, or when we just needed to talk. So to show our appreciation, we have a small gift. A picture of all of us, and also a gift certificate to El Charo, so you can enjoy some non-Indian food on us. So, thank you.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to travel, the privilege to go and experience a new culture. I thank you for the time that we had in India, and the people that we met, and I pray for them today as they go to sleep here. I thank you, Lord, for a wonderful semester, and the hope for a new summer, a wonderful summer, and I thank you once again for all these blessings that you've given us. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.